Hello, and thank you for joining us for this special episode of MedCast Live from the Revolutionizing Atopic Dermatitis 2023 meeting in beautiful Washington, D.C. My name is Dr. Raj Chovatiya, Assistant Professor of Dermatology and Director of the Center for Eczema and Itch at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago, Illinois. So we have a real treat today. Joining me today for a discussion on some of the recent data for ruxolitinib cream in the treatment of vitiligo is the one, the only, Dr. David Rosmarin, Chair of the Department of Dermatology at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Dr. Rosmarin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Raj. Happy to be here today.
So there's been a lot happening with ruxolitinib cream in vitiligo, and I think one of the most exciting things, what was just recently presented actually, was some of the long-term data. When I say long-term, we're not talking 1 year, but we're talking beyond 1 year. Could you kind of give me a little summary of what the setup here was, what we were trying to understand?
Yeah. So at the AAD late-breaking session in March, there were two main abstracts from the Rux Cream Truvi program. The first one is, well, what happens to those patients who don't achieve an F-VASI90 at the week 52 mark? So about a third of the patients will achieve that endpoint, but what about those patients who maybe have a good response but not all the way there yet? And the answer is that with continued use of the medicine, patients continue to respond. So that a third of the patients who haven't achieved an F-VASI90 at week 52 will achieve that by the 2 year mark. Additionally, patients are achieving F-VASI75s at a higher rate and the T-VASI50 as well at a higher rate. So even though patients may not be achieving all of those endpoints by the year mark, with continued use of the medicine, we see continued improvement.
So that's interesting, right? That's probably telling us something that we've kind of sort of known about the biology of vitiligo, this idea that it is really a time-intensive and laborious process to get your melanocytes going again after you've stopped inflammation, huh?
Yeah, we really don't understand why there's some people who are really rapid responders and after 3 to 6 months really have gotten almost all their pigment back, and yet there are others that need more time. But we view the repigmentation of vitiligo as a two-step process. So one, you need to tell the immune system to calm down, which the ruxolitinib cream seems to do quite well. But the second step, which does take more time, is telling those pigment cells to come back into those white patches. And that just continues to happen over time. One question we still have, though, is will sunlight or phototherapy be synergistic to help with that second step?
Great question. I feel like, you know, it's long been a part of our therapy in general in vitiligo to think about that. So I'm really excited to kind of what we learn about that combination. There was another sort of interesting set of data presented that I would love to understand a little more about. And this is kind of the withdrawal arm. Is this correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So the other piece of information that we have from the long term is, what about those patients who have achieved an F-VASI90 and some of them will stop using the medicine and others will continue?
Sure.
Well, for patients who stop using the medicine, there are some that are able to hold the response for quite a while. And so I think that breeds hope that patients can take a drug holiday and be confident that they're not necessarily going to lose their pigmentation. In my own practice, I've seen some patients from our original investigator-initiated study go 7 years before starting to lose the pigment again. And so what we don't know is, well, what is the optimal regimen to regain that pigmentation or maintain it? Is it twice a week, like we currently often do with tacrolimus? Mm-hmm. Or would it be better to use it once a day or twice a day regimens? So we still don't have that piece of information yet. However, for those patients who want to take a drug holiday, they can. And if they start to see any depigmentation, they can use ruxolitinib cream and be confident that they can recapture the result.
That's really cool, because I think that, you know, it's hard to get anyone to do anything for a handful of weeks, let alone a year, let alone 2 years. And I think that with most of my patients, no matter the skin disease, if things are going well, you kind of tend to take your foot off the gas a little bit. And it is very encouraging to see that even if you do take a bit of a break, and obviously an F-VASI90 is sort of a high cutoff we're setting, you know, you could actually do pretty reasonably well for a while before things change. I guess the question that I have for you then is it an area of investigation or research, something people are wondering, who are these people that have the really good long-term response, and who are the ones that maybe are the ones that really need to keep using things more often?
Great question, and the true answer is we don't know. Subgroup analysis, when we look at that, we haven't found any factors that really are correlating with, if you have more facial involvement to start with, then you'll be associated with a better response or a longer term response. We just don't have that information, and it may be certain factors that are just beyond our understanding at the moment.
I mean, there may not be an answer to this question, but I think one of the things that really came up during the actual phase 3 trial data, the primary endpoints, was this idea that, you know, there's certain parts of the body that repigment better. And we know that sort of face is very different than, let's say, the hands. Have we learned anything about the longer you treat for some of these harder to repigment areas? Do we actually start to see more encouraging responses?
So another great question. That subgroup analysis hasn't been done. However, we do know, exactly as you said, that based on demographic data, it doesn't predict response. So whether patients have had vitiligo for over 30 years mm-hmm. or just 6 months, they have similar responses. We don't see big differences based on the race of the patient, the age of the patient. Other clinical characteristics and demographics don't seem to predict response, but anatomic region does. And we think it has to do with the follicular density, the ability to get those melanocytes back to those white patches. So because the face is so follicularly dense, that's why it is easier to repigment and happens more rapidly. Areas that are more glabrous in nature are more challenging. But we are encouraged that patients are getting responses even in those really challenging to treat areas such as the feet and the hands. However, it's still a challenge to get patients for the result that they want, but they can get some response with ruxolitinib cream.
So as an investigator, kind of where do things go after, you know, 2 years is a long time. Is there sort of interest in continuing to follow these people over the long run? Is this kind of where this stops? Where's the story headed?
Great. So we do have data for more than 2 years with the phase 2 program, mm-hmm. and what we saw is similar to what we're seeing in the phase 3. The longer patients use the medicine, the better the response that they're getting. And they certainly don't plateau at week 52. It seems that the response doesn't even plateau at the 2-year mark for many patients. However, there's still other information that we want a better sense of. First is we'd love to know, can we use this medicine safely in patients who are below 12 years of age. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get some safety data first for the atopic dermatitis population. Just like in AD, there are many pediatric patients who are affected. Studies show that about half of the patients will develop vitiligo by the age of 20. So we want to have those treatments for kids that want to repigment. Additionally, there are studies that are planned to look at what happens when you use phototherapy with ruxolitinib cream. So we've looked at that somewhat in the phase 2, and patients who added in phototherapy certainly continued to have a response with ruxolitinib cream, but we want larger numbers and it to be a more systematic study to get a better handle on it.
You know, based on everything that you're saying about a lot of this subgroup and demographic analysis and where we're headed, it's really important, I think, for everyone out there that might be listening, is that vitiligo is equal opportunity in so many ways. Age, sex, race, gender, you name it, vitiligo sort of is a possibility, which is why it's so important for us to kind of study across the potential span of patients exactly what these manifestations are and what happens with therapy and what really happens in the long run. Thank you so much today for helping to lead this discussion, Dr. Rosemarin, and thanks to all of you out there who are tuned in to this latest episode of MedCast for the medical news site HCP Live. If you enjoyed our discussion on ruxolitinib cream, vitiligo, everything in between, you can find similar expert insights and reports on hcplive.com. You can also register for the newsletter. Follow HCP Live all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it, for more rad content and MedCast episodes. Thanks.